do in there, whether start or finish the message this morning. But one thing I will say, you know, on top of what Duncan's already said earlier about the finances of the church, this church ain't going to close. But this church has to make some decisions as to where we go from here. And that's what my message is about this morning. It's not really about what we read, which seems to be common for me these days. I read something and they don't speak about it, although I will be touching on it this morning. But not wanting to steal Duncan's thunder or anything, I'm going to be speaking on Romans 12:1. That's it. This morning. Because that's, I believe, the answer to our financial situation. It's the answer to our personal situation this morning. That answer is found and located in Romans 12:1. But before I go there this morning, I just want to just take a little bit. I've spoken about Isaac and Abraham before, and this story the Bible tells us about what happened, you know. And when I was looking at Romans 12:1, I kept thinking back to Isaac, because this Romans 12:1 talks about, if you want to put it up, Will, if you've got a chance. I've asked Will to put this up, and I want it to stay there really while I speak this morning. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Other versions say different things, but really meaning the same. Another version here, that got printed out so I could say it properly. It says here, I beseech you, that's the same as mine, doesn't it? Yeah, it must be New King James. But another one's, what's somebody else got in theirs? What's the NIV? Somebody got NIV, Romans 12. Can you read it out for me?
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and obedient to God. This is a spiritual act of worship.
Yeah, wonderful. And thanks, Duncan. And that's what I want to be sort of looking at this morning. But before I go there, I want to just go back into Genesis and 22 and just say a few things about this story that Duncan read for us this morning, that we saw on the screen, about Abraham's willingness to take his son to this place that God had said, and to his willingness to go through and sacrifice his only son. It's interesting, firstly, that word there, and that word there is found in Genesis, what we read, Genesis 22:2. And God said to Abraham, he said, take now your son, your only son. And it's in italics in my Bible. And you'll say, well, he had another son, didn't he? Yeah. His name was Ishmael. And it's interesting when you go back one chapter into 21, talks about Isaac being born to Abraham, and Ishmael was sent away really from with his mom, his bond servant, and they went away because Sarah was uncomfortable with her being there after she gave birth to Isaac, which was the son of promise that God has promised him. He slept with Hagar and had a son called Ishmael, but it was basically their own way of trying to get a son. It was their own purpose of their own heart to do this. And so they'd gone their own way and decided, this is how we're going to get a son. They couldn't wait for God to fulfill his promise. They did it their way. And it's interesting here in verse 13. Of chapter 21, the chapter before that we read, and it says, yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondswoman. Even God calls him the son of the bondswoman because he is your seed. You see, God didn't recognize Ishmael as Abraham's son, as it were. His seed, yes, but not his son, because Isaac was the son that he promised, and at 100 years of age, Abraham fathered Isaac. And isn't it amazing, like, you know, that And this is what my whole message is about this morning. You know, God operates out of our box, out of the way that we can see and physically see. And I just thank God. In many respects, I believe we're at where we're at today, for a purpose and for a reason. You know, because I think God wants us here to teach us about trusting Him. He wants us here to show us that He is bigger than our situation. He is bigger than our problems, bigger than our difficulties, bigger than the things that we see in our face. Isaac and Sarah, Abraham and Sarah, wanted this son, and they thought they would do it their own way. You know, I believe even though we do things our own way and we mess up sometimes, God still takes care. Because God said, I will make a nation. And we see it all around the world today. The nation of Islam sprung up from Ishmael. Now, it wasn't God's best. Isaac was God's promise and God's best. But they couldn't wait for that to happen. You know, in many respects, I believe we're at as a church today for God to move us on. But before He can do that, we've got to be in that place where we're just totally trusted in Him that will take us on forward from here. You know, and that's what that verse is about. And I read that verse and I thought myself, what is a living sacrifice? What is a living sacrifice? What is He talking about? A living sacrifice. And all that kept coming back to me, as I said, was Isaac on the mountain. And what a story, what a sort of a forerunner message of Jesus this is. You know, as we read through it, you know, the fact is that He heard and He was obedient, and He took His son and His donkey, and Duncan talked about donkeys at Christmas. He took His son and His donkey and his young men and went and travelled 3 days. In 3 days Jesus was in the tomb, and they came to this place, Mount Moriah, which is the place of Calvary, where Jesus is the place that David sacrificed years and years before Christ. It was where He bought the threshing floor and sacrificed there. It was a place of sacrifice. You know, here, right at the beginning of the Bible, we see Abraham travelling with his son, believing God. Now, you know, he'd waited for all of these years, 100 years he'd waited for a son. 100 years he'd waited for this child of promise. 100 years of being barren as a father, really, before Ishmael came. And as I've already said, that was a mistake. That was a real problem. But here we are, 100 years of waiting, and what does God say? Take your son, your only son, take the son I've given you, the son of promise, and I want you to take him, and I want you to go to a place I'll show you, and there I want you to sacrifice him on an altar to me. You see, when we read a bit further on in the story this morning, when Duncan read, he talked about the fact is that he had the kindling for the altar, the fire, the wood. You know, and it was put upon Isaac's back, and he carried it up the mountain for his dad to sacrifice himself on. It's like Jesus carrying the cross to Calvary, bore it on his shoulders and took it there. What an example of what was to happen when Jesus came. You see, when Jesus came, a new covenant was formed. The old covenant, really. Although they learnt from it, although it was the way until Jesus came. When Jesus came, there was a new way. There was a new way of drawing close to God, and we're as part of that new covenant this morning. And just the story of it, the likeness of it, really sort of just stuck in my heart, you know, and. It was just amazing when you see, we haven't done Romans, and Duncan hasn't done Romans, you know, again and again and again and again and again and again, just for fun. You see, we're trying to lay a foundation here in this church. We're trying to lay a foundation for us to build on, for us to move on. And some of us have found it difficult at times, and it is when teaching takes place. Sometimes it's hard to take in and hard to digest. You know, it's nice to hear great messages and all sorts of exciting things, but sometimes we have to plough through. We have to learn what God's heart is for His children. We have to stick with it. And there's a reason why we've ploughed through Romans. Not finished yet, but we're ploughing through Romans. It's so that we have a grounding. It's no good me asking you to do something and you do it because I said so. You need to do it because the Word says so. Because God says so. And you know, and it's amazing that the first 11 books of Romans, God's not asking us to really to do anything much at all. He's telling us about what He's done. He's telling us what He's given to us and what He's blessed us with. And when we look, and I've just listed down a few of those things this morning in those first 11 chapters of Romans, it talks about that He justified us, that He adopted us, that He set us under grace and not under law. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He helps us in our troubles. He enables us to stand in Him. He's given us the certain hope of our future, of glory. He's promised never ever to leave us or forsake us. He's taught us that He is totally and utterly faithful towards us. And then we come to the first verse of Romans 12. And it says, I beseech you, therefore. So, therefore, folks, because of all that's happened, because of all those things that I've told you about Him, therefore, I beseech you. By the mercies of God, which I've just read out, the fact is that He's given us His Holy Spirit, that He loves us, that He saved us, that He gives us hope for the future. All of these things, that basically He's taking care of us. Because of these things, Paul is now saying, therefore, I implore you, I beg you. You see, this is love, it's not law. This is love. That He would call out and say, Church, I beg you. Because of the love of Jesus, because of the love of God, that God has for you, to present, to come, to, that word present means to come before God, to offer. Come before God and present your body as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. And this is where I've had to really sort of just sort of get into the Word here this morning. And to look at this. This pleading of Paul for the church to realise, because of what God has done, because of what this Word tells us He's done, that it's now time to present ourselves before Him as a living a sacrifice. In other words, we've had 11 chapters of doctrine, 11 chapters of all sorts of stuff that lay in the foundation. And because of that, now I want you to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. What does a living sacrifice mean? One of the things that really sort of spoke to me is the fact is that we don't sacrifice, we don't give. And I'm not just talking of put money out of the way this morning. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me. I'm talking about us as people this morning. We don't sacrifice to obtain God's mercy. Okay? Our sacrifice, our lifestyle, our walk with God should reflect the mercy that He has shown us in His Word. Do you understand where I'm coming from this morning? We don't sacrifice, we don't do something. If I give God this, He is going to give me that. I give God that because He loves me, because He's blessed me, because He touched my life, because He has done so much for me. That's why I give of myself. You can turn it financially, but I give financially because of what God has given to me. He owns the cattle on the thousand. Randy always was one of the favourite things. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold in every mine. So when we look at the fact is that it's all His anyway, that He's given to us, then I'm not talking this morning about the biblical tithing. I'm talking about biblical giving. And it starts with us. It starts with me, and it starts with you. And it starts with how much are we prepared to be a living sacrifice. How, you see, Isaac wasn't the living sacrifice. Abraham was the sacrifice. Because he was sacrificing all that he held dear. He's sacrificing everything that meant something to him. He's sacrificing his one and only son, the child of promise, the child that God had given to him. And he was prepared, as he raised that dagger, to say, I will do this because God, you said for me to do this. And I can imagine in the back of my mind, you know, maybe there was not an ounce of thinking with him, but with me, I'd have the knife and I'd be thinking, God, there's going to be no way out of this. I've waited 100 years for this child. And now you want me to lay it down. Yeah, and this is where I believe that God wants us to be. He wants us to lay down some stuff that we hold dear. And maybe with you it's money. Maybe with you it's something else. Maybe with you it's other things. I don't know. But the way I'm coming this morning, I believe that if we can get to grips with this one verse, if we can understand the concept of being a living sacrifice, then we won't have to preach about money at this church, about anything else, because we'll all be walking the way God wants us to walk. And I'm talking about me this morning. I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm talking about my life as well. There's areas of my life where I need to be more sacrificial to God. Things that I don't do, I know I should do. Things that I do a bit that I know I should do more. Other things I do a lot I shouldn't be doing at all. You know, we just need to know God's heart for us. So in view of all that God has given to us, and as a church, hasn't He blessed us? You know, we look around and we see what we've got here. And we say, thank you, Jesus. You know, 4 years ago, 10 people made a decision to finance this room. It was just this room. It was nothing else out there. 10 people made the decision, we're going to finance this room. And 4 years on, with all sorts of circumstances and all sorts of situations happening, you know, we're in a position now where our outgoings are more than our income. We in the first couple of years of our existence, we were so blessed by people. You know, we had a money in the bank. This church is never about money in the bank. Don't get me wrong. This church is about using what we have to build God's kingdom with. Never been a person that wants money in the bank. Yes, we need money to live and to exist, but the money that you give to this church, we want to use it to see other people's lives changed for Jesus. Not about building buildings. Not about doing this or whatever like that, or building an empire out of victory. That's the last thing on my mind. So I want to see people's lives change. People will build the building. People will do that as we grow as a church. And we've had some knocks on the way. It's almost like that we've allowed, for some reason, a door to be opened. The enemy's come and he's stolen something away from us. For church, it's time to close the door and to take back that that's been stolen away from us. And I really believe this verse is the key verse for that. When we start to live a life sacrificially to God, a living sacrifice, a life that Abraham was prepared to live. You know, and I'll read you this because it really spoke to my heart. And it's taken from a sermon. And this couple of paragraphs really blessed me as I was sort of, because I just was looking at Isaac and whatever, and this really sort of came up. It says, well, I tell you, I'll give you an illustration, one that I always think of. Abraham, God said to Abraham, you're going to have a child. He had a child, Isaac. Abraham loved Isaac, didn't he? Oh, he loved him. The child of all his promise, the child of his dreams, the hope of all the fulfillment of God's plan, God said to Abraham, take him up in a mountain and kill him. take him up in a mountain and kill him. He wasn't born until I was 100. Only son I have, legitimately, by Sarah. But he obeyed. Took all the sticks, tied them on Isaac's back. Isaac, like a picture of Christ carrying his cross, Isaac goes up the mountain. Abraham goes with him. He gets up on the mountain, lays Isaac on the altar, and Isaac is properly saying, "Gee, you know, I'm not sure what's going on here." Abraham lifts his dagger, and this is the paragraph. Isaac was about to be a dead sacrifice, but do you know who was making a living sacrifice? It was Abraham. He was about to kill his hopes, his dreams, everything he ever wanted. That's what God told him to do. Do you know what a living sacrifice is? Not somebody who dies for God, but somebody who submits to God's will, whatever the cost. That's a living sacrifice. You say, this is maybe a hard word this morning. And yes, it is a hard word. Spoke to my heart hard. Hit me between the eyes. And I thought, Lord, what are you trying to say? Because of my mercies, because I loved you before you loved me, because I saved you, because I've given you a hope for the future, because I've done this and I've done that, because I have filled you with my Holy Spirit, because of what I have done for you, this is all I want you to do for me. I want you to trust me, whatever the cost. And as we enter this new year of 2011, I really believe in my heart that this is where God wants us to be, at this place, because if this year, and I believe this year is going to be a year of just great movement on with the Father. I really believe that. I really believe that if we can just get hold of this, if we can have another, a deeper understanding of what it is to be a living sacrifice. Not an Isaac on the altar. Yes, Lord, do with me what you want. But an Abraham who says, thank you for what you've given to me. And if you say, I'm going to put it on the altar today, I'm going to put it on the altar today, even though it's what my dreams are made of, even though it's what my heart desires more than anything else, I'm prepared, God, to say, yes, I'll go the extra mile for you this year. I believe it'll be a whole new lifestyle for us. We'll be thinking differently, walking differently, praying differently, expecting differently. You know, what are you expectant of for God to do this year? Pastor Trevor was asked a while back, what's the vision for New Life Church? What's your vision for the future? And he had to think seriously about it, because Pastor Trevor is getting up to 70 years of age. You know, and one day he wants to give it up to somebody else to take over it. So you have to think seriously. You know, what is my personal vision? See, my vision for this church is very, very simple. I want to see people saved and set free, taught in the Word of God, released into the gifts that God has for them, and send them out. Never, ever thought this church would be a massive, huge church of thousands, but just a releasing church, that people would come and be released, would recognise the giftings, that through the Holy Spirit we would say, your gift is this. And train them, put something into their hearts, some scriptures, some foundations, some Romans and Ephesians and other things that's going to set them and enable them to do the calling that God has called their on their lives. You know, God's got a call on your life. There's a purpose why you're here. There's a purpose why you're part of Wellspring Church. You know, you may think of it very lightly. It's something you do on a Sunday or you do midweek or whatever, but it's more than that. It's a day-by-day lifestyle of surrendering yourself to what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. Of me surrendering myself not doing what I think's best or what I want to happen, but what God wants to happen in this place. See, this week of fasting we've called is specific. We want you to be asking God, God, where do I fit in? What do you want me to do? Ask God to give you words for the church. Some people have already been receiving words for the church. God's already speaking. And everything is fitting in. And things are slotting into place. One of the words, it'll be brought, I would imagine, the next few weeks, and it's probably in its entirety, is that God is like a dam at the moment. And that dam is about to break. There are places where the water is breaking through, but when it goes, be prepared for the flood of blessing that's going to come. But when we look on the surface, we look physically at what's happening at the moment, we say, can't see this, but I can. I've encouraged you over these last 4 years to look further than what you see. When I look at the empty chairs this morning, I don't see empty chairs, as it were. I just see, a chair for somebody to come and sit in, a chair for somebody to fill. And what are we doing about it? How will we evangelize more? What will we do? What does God want us to do? What is God saying to your heart? As I said at the beginning, this isn't really a message about money, although money comes into it, because we've got to exist. We've got to go on. Or we've got to change what we have and do something different. Maybe God wants us to do that. That's the reason why I've said, church, we need to pray for a week. We need to seek God's heart. What does he want to do? Where does he want to take us? How does he want to do it? Maybe we can be, I remember saying this to the leadership team, that really trying to not be devil's advocate in the world, but stir it up a little bit and say, maybe we've got ourselves too comfortable here. This is wonderful. But we are so different to other churches. We're other churches in the area paying tiny little bits of rent for meeting in the week. We pay a big chunk of rent. But I was the one without the faith originally, 4 years ago. Everybody else says, come on, you're supposed to be the pastor. Have faith, we'll do it. We can afford it, we'll do this, we'll commit to it. And I was dubious then. I'm not dubious now. I know that God will do what he wants to do. I know that he will make this church into the church that he wants it to be. But he does that through people. He does that through you. He does that through me. And we're at a stage at the moment where we just need to do something really seriously. And just for a couple of minutes, I'll just tell you exactly where we're at. Cliff and I went to see the play of Grandy just before Christmas, because we thought we're an honourable organisation. We want them to know where we're at, and we said to them that we have enough money in the bank really to keep on going for a few more months. But what can you do? We like the building. We don't really want to move. But if that's going to have to be the case, then that's going to be the case. We have to get to something really cheaper, something that we'll probably only be able to use on a Sunday, and travel with everything in and take everything down at the end of the day. And we're comfortable. We have everything installed. We've got the overhead projector up on the roof. We've got cupboards in there. We're talking about perhaps get some kitchen units so we can wash up easier. All these things. Abraham, you see, lived in the promised land. But he lived as a nomad in a promised land. And I just felt God was saying, examine your motives, examine your roots. Are we putting down? I said to the team, what are we doing? Are we putting down too many roots? Are we making this our place? And it's not wrong to do that. Don't get me wrong. It's lovely. We know we're going to pay more. We're on the coast. We're on the main place. But that's, God has blessed us. And blessed them, the prayer lady came back to us. And there and then, she came almost prepared, didn't she? The lady who owns the playground, and she said, "Look," she said, and they straight away knocked €150 a month off our bill. Which is wonderful. And they said, even if you can't really afford that, give her a little bit less. We have had such favour as a church, but we can't go on the way we're going. We need to do something about it, and that's why I want you to pray this week. That's why I want you to seek God. What is God saying to you? Maybe he gives you a word. I want you to contact me, to ring me. If you need to see me this week, I'll come and see you this week. But we need to talk about things. We need to talk about the future, our future. The church will continue, but maybe it won't continue here. I would very much like it to continue here, but there you go. But we just can't keep on going the way we are. Every month, Phil's had to draw from our bank account. We had money set aside there to pay for our registration when it came through. And month by month, the last 2 years, month by month, it's been eroded and eroded and eroded. We have drawn from it and drawn from it. It wasn't specifically put there for that purpose, don't get me wrong. But we've had enough money there to cover the solicitor's bill and everything. But gradually, that's been eroded away because we have to pay our bills. And so that's the position. I'm honest, I'm straight up front with you this morning. This is where we're at this moment in time. Maybe God is just bringing us, as I said, to this place. So we can really say, God, you know, help me trust you more through this. You know, I'm just really pray that God will just speak to your hearts as you seek his face this week. Ask him to show you. You know, I'll be really interested to see what God says to you. If we read a bit further into, and I perhaps encourage you to do that when you get home in Genesis, go a few chapters further forward, 24, 26. Read about the wells that Isaac dug. When they first went there, they started to dig up the old wells that Abraham had dug, his dad had dug. You know, and there was all sorts of bother, all sorts of grief, because they tried to use the old wells. Church, it's time for a new thing. New wells to be dug. Not to rely on the old wells, the old source of supply, but a new source. God said to me last year, he is my source. Actually, the year before, November 2008. 2009, sorry. God says that he is my source. And I've held on to that, and held on to that, and held on to that. And when I read further into Genesis, and I read about Isaac digging his dad's wells, you know, we can go back to the old ways we've done things. You know, I think God's got a new way for us to go forward. You know, are we looking for that thing? What is that new thing that he wants us to do? Is there other wells to dig? Financial wells to dig? Spiritual wells to dig? You know, and we need to dig them ourselves. Not trusting who supplied before. God said, I will supply your needs. I will meet you at the point of your need. And I've got no worries about that. When I left the UK and gave up all the sort of natural stuff that I clung on to for all my working life, that to me was a release. That to me was a laying down. But I've not laid down enough. I'll be honest before you this morning. There's other stuff I've got to lay down. Because I want to be like Abraham. I want to be that living sacrifice. I want to be able to sacrifice my plans and my dreams for what God wants for this church. And I just encourage you this morning, as a congregation here at Wellspring, you know, seek God and ask him, Father, I want to lay down some of the stuff I have too, because I want to go with you in 2011. Not where I want to go, but I want to go where you want me to go. I'm going to finish there. There's a lot more I wanted to say, but I'm not going to say any more this morning. That's it in a nutshell. We need to pray and seek the Father. God has a way. And maybe through this, just maybe through this, God's going to teach us something about holding on to him while everything else fails and everything else falls down. He says, I never fail. I will always be there. You've got to hold on to me. You've got to trust me with your life. Trust me with your health. Trust me with your wealth. Trust me in all things. I will never, never fail.